Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to thank you for listening to our radio broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we give you the message of truth. We'll also encourage you to view our TV program that comes on right after this radio broadcast at 8 a.m. to 8:30 on Public Access Channel Number 6, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We will endeavor to open up the pages of God's Word and give you a better understanding of the things contained therein. We also want to take this opportunity to invite you to our Fall Gospel meeting that will begin next Lord's Day at the regular meeting times, and then Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. with our guest speaker, Steve Lee, from Campbellsville, Kentucky. You will find his lesson very edifying. It'll be true to the book. If you have any questions, we'll be glad to open our Bibles, have an open examination with you. And so we invite you to come and be with us this whole week, beginning at our regular times on Sunday and Monday through Friday evening at 7 p.m. We are looking at an overview of the Bible, and we finished last week looking at the book of 1 Corinthians. Matter of fact, Lord willing, we're going to conclude the study of that book this morning. We looked at thus far where we left off, looking at the abuse of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that the Apostle Paul was correcting. That leads us to the next text of the part of 1 Corinthians, and that is chapters 12 through 14. Chapters 12 through 14 of 1 Corinthians is dealing with the subject of spiritual gifts. In chapter number 12, the nine spiritual gifts are listed there in the beginning verses of chapter number 12. We understand that there was problems in Corinth because they were pitting one gift against another, saying that one was better and more important than another gift. But we understand by the teaching of the Apostle Paul, beginning in verse 11, but one that same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And so we see that all of these gifts work together for the function that they were given for, and that is the confirming that the message was from God, and also to be able to give the information to the early church of the things that God expected of them once they rendered obedience to Christ. We understand also from this 12th chapter that these gifts were given not to everyone, but just to select individuals, but they cannot pass that gift on to anyone else, and that gift would die with them. And we understand that all the gifts were to give each of the people receiving them the ability to help the others to better understand and to obey the Word of God. But at the end of chapter number 12, he tells them not to get too enamored with the gifts, because they are temporary. In verse 31 of the 12th chapter, he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And beginning in chapter 13, which is sometimes referred to as the chapter of love, he refers to the more excellent way. He tells them in the first three verses that if our service to God is not rendered out of love, then it profits us nothing. It must come from love. It must come not because we have to, but because we want to. And even if we did great things for God, but we don't do it in the attitude of love, it profits us nothing. And then in verses 4 through 7, he gives the definition of love and explains the characteristics of love. And in verse 8 through 13, he tells us that the spiritual gifts are going to go away. Verse 8. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Yes, the gift would cease. Why? Because the word would be confirmed and the word would be written down. It would be recorded. Men could go to it themselves. They would not have to have a miracle to know that the word came from God. They could check it out for themselves. In chapter number 14, he rebukes them for the incorrect use of the spiritual gifts. They had used them in a way that caused the unbeliever to believe that they were crazy because of all the chaos that was going on in their services, some much like a Pentecostal service today. And we see there in verse number 26, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let him there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Here we see some qualifying things about speaking in tongues. And by the way, tongues are languages. It's not gibberish and not things that are some special language that only God knows. It is a language that has never been studied or never known. And they were given the gift of tongues as they were in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, so that those from different nationalities, different nations, could hear the word of God in their own native language. And as we just read, if there is no interpreter, if no one knows how to interpret the things that are said, there's no edification. And if there's no edification, then the tongue speaker should be silent. We also see at the end of chapter number 14, in verse number 34 and 35, that women are not permitted to speak in the church, but they are to be silent. Not because they're not intelligent, not because they don't have much to offer, but in the spiritual role that God gave in the Lord's church, the public part of the worship is given to men and not to women. So that prohibition is given in 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. Now, I know the women feminist movement today doesn't like that, but that's what the scriptures teach. If we're going to be faithful to God, we're going to have to adhere to that. We also see in 37 of chapter 14 that he wrote to them, the things that he wrote in these chapters were the commandments of the Lord, not Paul's opinion, not Paul's theology, but the commandments of God. And we see in verse 40, and this is true of the whole section of spiritual gifts, that all things were to be done decently and in order. Why? It was to be edifying. In chapter number 15, we have a lengthy discussion about the resurrection of Christ and the need of the resurrection of Christ. We see in the first four verses that the death, burial, and the resurrection were the core elements of the gospel that they had believed and that they had received and that they remained in, and that Jesus was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And then in the next few verses, he gives eyewitness testimony of those who saw the Lord after the resurrection to show that the resurrection indeed was a true and not a hoax. And then beginning in verse 12 through verse 19, he lists some problems if the resurrection is a hoax or if it's false. He tells us, first of all, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is still in the grave. And if there's no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. It says our preaching is empty, their faith is empty, the dead do not rise, and Christ is not risen. Our faith is futile, and we're still in our sins, according to verse 17. And those who have died and are asleep have perished because they had no hope. Again, all these ifs are false because Christ did arise from the dead, and so none of those consequences will be experienced because Christ did arise from the dead. We also see that there is an illustration used of between Adam and Christ, showing that for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ we all shall be made alive. That just shows the spiritual and physical relationship, and that Jesus brought life through the Spirit by his death upon the cross. There are also some very important verses in verse 24 through 26 that tells us when the end comes, and that is the final judgment of all men and the final resurrection, that at that time the kingdom will be given back to the Father, and the Son will put all rain back under the feet of the Father, and all that will be done when the last enemy to be destroyed, and that, of course, is death, according to verse number 26. We also see in the 15th chapter that we see that the instruction is given, an illustration is given, of how God made different bodies for different people. The body of the bird is not the same as the body of a fish, or the body of cattle is not the same body of that of a whale. They all had different fleshly bodies, each one adapted to its habitation. We also see that's true with celestial and terrestrial bodies. That means the heavens and the sun and the earth and the moon and the stars. We also understand that beginning in verse 42, he shows that what's going to happen to the body at the final judgment, that he shows that there's going to be a spiritual body. The physical body is not going to be raised, a physical body, but a spiritual body. And it was sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It was sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body, there is a spiritual body. The body that we have, flesh and blood, was given to us to live upon the earth. It was never made to live eternally. It was only given to us to live and function as we live upon this creation of God on the earth. But in the end, we'll be given a new body that's fitted for our next habitation, and that's eternity somewhere, either in heaven or hell. And so we understand that the physical body came first and the spiritual body will come second. Why? Verse 50 says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's very much a death blow, the premillennial thinking, because they believe they're going to live on earth here for 1,000 years, but the Bible teaches no such theory, because the Bible says that the body is going to be destroyed and there's going to be a new body, a spiritual body, that will be clothed and prepared for us for our new habitation. And so in the last verse of the 15th chapter, he encourages them to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. And so we see that victory is given us over death by Christ's death on the cross and his victory over the grave. In the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, Paul deals with his travel plans and hopes of his future travels. In the first few verses, he talks about the collection that is to be done by the saints of freewill offerings given on the first day of the week as each one has prospered. And each one is to do that on the first day of the week. And that's the means of raising money for the Lord's church. It's not by bake sales, rummage sales, car clothing sales or car washes or chili dinners or spaghetti dinners or by raffles. It's done by free will offerings on the members, and it's done on the first day of the week. There's no tithing in the New Testament. We give as we've been prospered. And then we see at the closing part of chapter 16, he gives his final exhortation to those who had helped him and encouraged them to know that he loves them and asks that the grace of God would be with them. And that's the end of 1 Corinthians, the book. And so that is the instruction that he gives to the people of God in Corinth in order to encourage them. This letter was a letter of rebuke. They had done many things contrary to God's will, and God wanted them to know that they needed to correct their behavior. We want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll tune in again next Sunday as we continue going through our New Testament. Have a wonderful day.